So the Gemara in Chaf Hayyam Beis in Masechet Sukkah says as follows: Gufa, Rabbi quoted this statement on the previous Amar Chaf Hayyam Aleph. Gufa Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zav Amar Rav Avel Chai Bechol Mitzvos Hamur Shetorah Avel Chai with all the mitzvos in the Torah. Chutz mi tefillin, sharei nemar b'hem pe'er. Except he's not chayim in tefillin, because the pasuk says pe'er. Mida amar le'rachmona le'yecheskel, from the fact that Hashem said to Yecheskel, pe'er chavash alecha b'gomer, that you should keep your pe'er on, right? Maintain it on you. So atu d'machayis, you, Yecheskel, uniquely, and that's an error Rashi tells in the background as to why this was happening, as a symbol to tell Yisrael. So atu d'machayis, you are chayim, avakuli amatiri. However, everybody else is chatur. Your standard Abel, who's not told through Nebuah that he should act differently, the average Abel is chatur from tefillin. Hani Leon Rishon, now the Gemara comments that it's specifically on the first day, Diksiv, Vacharisa Kiyomar. Specifically on the first day, like which is going to be particularly bitter, that one day, the Yom Mar, is the bitter day, and that's only the first day of Avilos. Okay, so now there seems to be something strange in this Gemara, internally, within itself. Right? There seem to be two different sources, if you look closely, as to why an Avil doesn't or shouldn't, we'll get there soon, wear tefillin on the first day of Avilos. The Gemara starts off by saying an Avil's chayiv and all the mitzvos, except for tefillin, after all, they're called pe'er, which sounds like there's some sort of svara that an Avil can't wear tefillin. Now, we'll discuss what the nature of that svara might be, but it seems like it's its own logical reasoning. That simply because he's an Avil and this is pe'er, those two don't go together. We'll discuss why soon. But those two just don't go together on its own terms. Now the Gemara continues, though, and brings in seemingly a separate source. It means, Amar le'rachman le'yecheskel, pe'erecha chavash alecha, ad hu d'machayvitz, avakuli amatiri, from the fact that Hashem tells Yecheskel that only you should still wear your tefillin, implying all other avela should not. That sounds like there's a limit from this pasuk in Yecheskel, that all avelim are not supposed to wear their tefillin. So which one is it? Is it the pasuk, as the Gemara sounds like in its conclusion, which is the source? And then we'd have to explain what's the need for the svara. Or on the flip side, is it the svara which is the source? And then we have to understand why is there a need for a pasuk at all. So, fortunately for us, Tosfos on Chaf Hayyam Aleph, the previous Amud, addressed this. This was where the Gemara had initially quoted part of this Mimra. The Gemara had said, Shari Nemar Bahen Peir. So Tosfos says, L'kamamish ma'itz mefarish. The Gemara explains shortly, Mitzka Amar le'rach manu le'yecheskel pe'ercha chavash alecha adhu d'machayvis avukul yama tiri. The Gemara there says that as the reason. And that which the Gemara implies with its language that there is some svara as to why an Avel doesn't wear tefillin. So you guys tell me, which one does Tosfos assume is the real source and which one does Tosfos say is not the real source? The pasuk is the real source. Okay, but now what about the fact that the Gemara also implies that there's a svara? It sounds like an Avil and pe'er just don't mix. Those don't go together. So what do you do with that? Tosfos is saying, what's that there for? So Tosfos explains that lo asa lameimar ela de lo yalfinan mehacha lipotro mishar mitzvos. The svara is only there to explain why you don't potter an Avil from all other mitzvos as well. Deshani tefillin, the ikur pe'er. But the tefillin are unique because they're called pe'er. So what does that mean? Tosfos says, what is the reason, right? Why? We'll do like this. What is the source for no tefillin for Avel on day one? Okay, so what's the source that the Avel doesn't wear tefillin? So Tosfos tells us one thing. Tosos, so. Right, what does Tosos say? Tosos says the svara is, the real source is the pasuk. Okay, so if so, we have to explain. Question.
What's the point?
What's the point of the svara? What's the svara doing? So Tosos has to give us an answer. So Tosos explains the answer is, if you had only had the pasuk, I would have made opinion of. I would have said just as tefillin and avel is l'chayvin. So too, on Avel's five, not Avel's not five, in any mitzvah in the Torah. Now you might think that's a kind of weird binyan. But it's not so weird. After all, tefillin is a very kashuv mitzvah. Kol HaTorah Kula is hookish to tefillin. Everything is linked to tefillin in other contexts. And therefore, maybe you have a reason to think so. And even without that, you could have just said, we make a binyan of just as we find that tefillin and avos patra. And so maybe it's saying that every mitzvah is patra. So then the Gemara uses the svar to teach you, no, limit it specifically to tefillin. The pasuk meant tefillin and only tefillin is he patra from. Because there's a svar. That tefillin makes sense why he'd be patra from. After all, he's not a bar payer. He's not somebody who should have payer. We'll discuss more, again, exactly the nature of the svar soon. But tefillin as payer and avel as an avel don't mix. And that's what the svar is saying. It's only over here where we have a Torah, but not by any other mitzvah in the Torah. So the answer, according to Tosfos, is that you limit the Torah to tefillin alone, and not Kol HaTorah Kula. That's Tosfos' perspective. Are there any other perspectives, though, to explain, again, this anomaly? The Gemara sounds like it gives us two reasons. We only need one to teach you why something should be true. It gives us both a pasuk, it gives us a svara as well. So which one's the real one? So we have Tosfos as one side of it. Let's go to the how should we best order this? Maybe let's go to the Rosh Van Ksubos. Okay, let's go over here. So what did the Rosh Van Ksubos say? Anybody look at the Rosh Van Ksubos? You get a chance? What did the Rosh say? Which one does he think is it? Is the Pasa or the Svar?
They're the same thing, because they said that they're really one and the same.
Are they one and the same?
As far as you're explaining the Pasuk, it's the Svar of the Pasuk.
Ah, good. So which one is the real source?
The Pasuk.
Pasuk. Exactly. Very good. So the Rosh says, really, there's a Pasuk. Now, what's the point of the Svar? Right, same question. I could just really write this only once, but you know what? I'll be thorough. So Svar, what's the point of the Svar? So what's the Rashba's answer?
Explain the Pasuk.
It just explains the Pasuk. What would we call that in halachic terminology?
Time
to crow. Right? So Rashba's and Svara is just time Dikra. Right? Taima Dikra, that's all it is. What does Taima Dikra normally mean? It's the philosophy of the matter. Now, are we Dorish Taima Dikra? For halachic purposes, generally not. It's not halachic, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, comes up a bunch of times in Shas. We generally are not. Here, he's not saying we're even being Dorish for a halachic purpose. What's the message of the Torah? What's the Torah trying to tell us? What's the deeper meaning? So why is it that the Pasuk excluded an Avo from wearing tefillin? Just for Taima Dikra. Now, the Ritva asked on that. Well, since when is it like important for the Gemara to tell us time to crow? Like, well, if there's no enough, you know, like, the Gemara's just like trying to give us a nice message to understand deeper why the Pasuk did it. Again, the Pasuk excluded it. So the Ritva is a little bit troubled by this Rosh because it seems like that's not really giving fair due to the Svar. What would be the point of telling me the Svar? The Gemara goes out of its way to do so. So just to tell me time to crow, the Ritva, I think it's there, Ksubos, did not like that and therefore walked away from it. What might be another option, though? We see that the Rush in Moed Katan, you saw source 6 on our Amar Makomos sheet, had a different perspective. What did the Rush say? Anyone want to tell me? What was the Rush's perspective? Did anybody get through it? I know it was a big Rush, but I only wanted you to read the end of it. Don't worry.
That you were thinking it applied, just in the Pasuk, you were thinking it applies to all 7 days.
Okay, good. Speak it out clear.
But since,
what do you mean by that?
So if we learn just Michasko, so since we learn he's chayav and all their patrim, so they're patrim too. So do their patrim all 7 days. But since we learn out from the Mar Yom, the Yomar, sorry, so it's only by the first day, because as far as it is, that's the day you don't have pe'er. So we need both of them to come together to teach you that we learn the first day, not all 7 days.
So which one is the anchor according to the Rosh? Pasuk or Svar?
Still the Pasuk.
Still the Pasuk. Okay, let's see. Mendel, what do you say?
The Rosh, they can't learn at the end of Asur Patra is from Yecheskel, but you can learn the matzah of what happened in that scenario. You know that Hashem told Yecheskel to do so-and-so, so you can learn from that.
What do you mean by that? Let me cut you off for a second. Josh, I'll turn it to you in 1 second. Let's pause for a second. What was the Rosh's larger discussion? What's the Rosh over there coming to say? I didn't give you the entire larger discussion. Is Abelis the right or German? Right? That's a fair question. We all know about Abelis. Hopefully we shouldn't know about it personally or even within our general families, but we know that there is such a concept in Halacha. Right? There's Abelis. So, is that Doraita or Darabana that you do all those Nihugi Abelis? So that's actually Machlokas Rishonin. The Rosh is strongly on the side, attacking Rosh and the Rambam there, that who believes that there is Abelis on a Doraita level. He says, no, it's only Darabana. Right? He explains that Abelis is only Darabana. And he was explaining that the linear de ain rabbi tefillin, the patra betefillin, lav mi echesel got marina. Okay, so you guys tell me what this sounds like. The linear de ain rabbi mi tefillin, the patra tefillin, the tour of tefillin, lav mi echesel got marina. It's not from the pasuk. He couldn't be more explicit, right? He says it's not from the pasuk. Okay, de im kain, nifter kol shiva, that was what Rafi was getting on to. De im kain, nifter kol shiva, kishar mili davelos. De gamrina mina. And we learn out from there. But avo lo mifter mitfilin al yom risho. So it can't be that you learn from the pasuk. Because everything else in the pasuk, let's say the answer for wearing shoes, right, of other nihugi avelos, that are in that pasuk. So those are all 7 days. If the isser of tefillin was from that pasuk, shouldn't it have the same rules as everything else that's learned from that pasuk, in that you're not allowed to do them all 7 days? So clearly it's not from that pasuk. Alma tefillin, so then rather, Ella midiksiv v'yecheskel pe'ercha chavish alecha, from the fact that in Yecheskel it says pe'ercha chavish alecha, Alma tefillin ikru pe'er. You learn what from the pasuk in Yecheskel? Simply a gilui milsav. That's what tefillin mean. Tefillin are called pe'er. How did I know that tefillin were called pe'er beforehand? How did I know? The pasuk calls it oops, ikaro. Totafos. They're called Pe'er. How did I know that Yecheskel is called, that before Yecheskel, how did I know that Tefillin is called Pe'er? I would never have known that. So the pasuk in Yecheskel says, oh, by the way, your Tefillin, they're pretty fancy. They're pretty nice. They're beautiful. They're your Pe'er. At which point now, the Sfara is the real source. The Sfara says, oh, if Tefillin are indeed called Pe'er, so then, an Avol should not be wearing it. An Avol's la bar Pe'er. You understand? How really it's from the Sfara. What did the Pasuk do that? So according to the Rosh, the Sfara is the real source. Question, why need the Pasuk? You guys with me? That makes sense?
Then I wouldn't know if it's Pe'er.
Exactly. Pasuk teaches me that teaches that tefillin equal Pe'er, and then Sfara kicks in. Right? You understand what I mean by that? Right now, like, then the Sfara starts to plot. Because, like, how do I know tefillin are fancy? Maybe tefillin are ugly. They're black boxes that you're wearing. Right? Do you see, I don't know, modern fashionistas all wearing tefillin? No! So how do you know tefillin are handsome? How would you have known that? So the answer is, because modern fashionistas don't know anything. And the pasuk tells me that, no, tefillin are beautiful. They are fantastically gorgeous. And therefore, they're your pe'er. Is it appropriate for an avol to be doing that? Again, we'll speak about why yes, why no in a moment. But those two apparently contradict. Yes, questions. Alex?
You said we do learn other hilchos ve'ilos in a pasuk?
Yes.
Which?
I mean, pretty much every other one of the nehugi ve'ilos. Like that he can't have tashmish mita, that he can't, that he should be quiet, that everything else that goes along with being an avol. Yeah, and that whole pasuk of Talmud Torah is learned from there. That is, it's all very important source. When you learn Moed Kodim, you're trying to learn it. Yeah.
So if in the end of the day we learn that avol pater from the Svara, it's not either.
It is indeed. The Rosh believes that Avelis is not a din d'oraisa. Okay? Question?
No?
Okay, great. Okay, so now I just want to pause for a second. Guys, why is the Rosh a weak pshat? That sounds like a beautiful pshat. Doesn't the Rosh sound very nice? Oh, the pasuk is saying, really, this far. That's how it starts off, right? This right here. You tell me where it reads badly. Okay? Because I thought it read very nice. You tell me why you wouldn't like the Rosh. Why you would be a Rosh, but for Tosfos man. Okay, so what does the Gemara say? Avel chai b'chol mitzvos amurish b'torah, chutz mitzvillin, sharei nemar behen pe'er. And then he goes on with the Yomar. So that sounds nice like the Rosh, right? It goes, oh, from the fact that the pasuk said, but why is it not Mudiyah? Somebody open their Gemara and tell him. Yeah,
this is like Asfud Machaibis or Kulomteri.
Yes, exactly. The Gemara makes it sound like it's a drush from the pasuk. The Gemara, the Gemara wanted to say what the Rosh was saying, it would have said, Shneamar, Pe'er Chachavish Alecha, Pe'er Zuhut Tefillin, or something like that. That would have been the way of the drush. Instead, the Gemara says, from the fact that Yecheskel told you don't wear your pe'er, but everybody else wear your pe'er, it sounds like the pasuk teach me everybody else should not wear their pe'er, meaning this pasuk is the source. So the Rosh's read is not great. You're with me on that? Do you understand? Uh-huh. Good. But he's got a valid approach, and the Rosh is the Rosh. I'm sure he would defend it. And that is the Rosh's response. Well, I left out one person on the board here, but I wanted to make this break up over here like this. So you see that really the Rosh is saying Svar's Iker, pasuk is doing a side point. Tosus and the Rosh were assuming the Pasuk's the Iker. Tosus, the Pasuk is accomplishing a side point. The Rosh was basically saying, sorry, the Svar is doing a side point. The Rosh was saying, it's not really doing anything. Okay? But now there's one more approach here. All right, that's why I left that large gap. Okay, so now let's go over here. What was Tosfos in Brachos? Anybody remember what Tosfos in Brachos said? Tosfos gave two answers there in Brachos. So you know what I'll say? I'll just write second over here. What was Tosfos' second answer there in Brachos? Tosfos' first answer was like which one of these pshatim? Exactly, like Tosfos over here in Sukkot. Right? It's the same idea. It's quoted in the name of the Sarni Kotz. Okay? I have it here. Yeah, I wrote it here. The Tirus of Sarmi Kotz, the Sarif Kaima, Shorashi. What do you need the Sfar for? Yeah, Yosef, you remember?
Is it the second answer?
Yeah, second answer. The first one is pretty much like Tosfos.
The Sfar teaches that only the first day.
Oh, good. So what do you mean by that? Speak out. Tell me how that's different than our Tosfos. So which one is the Iker? The Iker is, now you understand why I placed it on the board in this fashion, right? I left space over here. Because really, the Iker is the
Pasuk.
Exactly. So now my breakup is Pasuk and Sfar on one side. Okay, so now, what's the question? What about the Sfar? What's the Sfar teach us?
You would have thought, just the Pasuk, all 7 days, you cover two of them.
Exactly.
The teaches us only the first day.
Yeah, limit tour to first day. How did it do that? I would have thought all seven. Why would I have thought all seven? You tell me. Why would I have thought all 7 days?
Because
everything else in the Pasuk means all 7 days. But now, how did the Pasuk teach me that it's only one day? I'm sorry, how did the Sfar teach me it's only one day? If that's what the Sfar is doing.
You're only not about Pa'er on the first day.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, so apparently now, the Sfar is, according to this answer of Tosfos, the Sfar is very fine-tuned. When are you not about Pa'er? Only on the first day. Now, I think everybody would agree to that still. Right? I mean, even the other ones that had Svara, they just didn't go with this answer and explain that's what the point of the Svara was. But the Gemara is clear. And Avel is only not Chayav and Kol on the first day. So clearly, if it's something related to Pe'er, it's only true on the first day, it's not true on the other days. The question is now, and this is where I want to turn to the next thing in our source sheet, is what is this Svara? What do we mean that, oh, contradiction. It's like black and white. You can't have an Avel and you can't have Pe'er in the same room. That just doesn't, they don't go together. Water and oil, they just separate. It can't be. Why? What is it that really, really means? Can we pause for a second? And I lend my smartphone to somebody else. Can somebody do me a favor and take a picture of this so I can erase it? Yes, just take a picture of this so we can have it saved for afterwards. In case any of you want to see it again. That's right, I can erase it. Okay, you guys remember it now? We've got our four options over here. That's how to understand this. But now I want to turn to a different question. I want to know, what is the nature of this Sfar? So what do you guys think intuitively? Why do these two things not go together? Why don't they jive? Any suggestions? Or if better yet, you can give me Marcomos. Why don't we go like this? Why don't you tell me what Rashi in Brachos said, as well as in Kesubos?
So this guy's like, he's like in the dirt, like he's low, he's not so much better.
Okay,
people think
good.
He's our
Oh, well, hold on a second. You know what, let me get some background here, okay? So, we have the Svara. Svara for why Avel and Tefillin don't mix. Right? They don't like each other. Why not? Okay, so I wanted you to give me one option. Okay, what is this option of Rashi and Brachos and Kesubos?
Oh, Rashi
and Brachos. Yeah, Josh, go.
That it makes a tefillin not pe'er anymore.
What do you mean by that? That it makes a tefillin not pe'er anymore.
It's supposed to be a very beautiful, whatever has the status of pe'er, when an avel is somebody who's in wallowing in his pain, whatever he's doing, it's gonna disgrace the tefillin.
Beautiful. Okay, so let's read Rashi and Brachos. Okay, what does Rashi say? Chutz min tefillin shne'amar b'hem pe'er liyasasko pe'er chachavish alecha v'kemen dubo pe'er. Since the tefillin require pe'er, but Avel is gola el betzaro, but Avel is rolling in pain in the dirt, ain zeh pe'er. So, classic chakira, right? There's two sides. You can make a distinction, and you understand which one's which. Now we're going to try to pull out different discrepancies practically from those two. So, is it that the tefillin are being ruined by the avelas, and therefore you don't want to ruin the tefillin? Or is it that the avelas is being ruined by the tefillin, and you don't want to ruin the avilas. Do you understand?
Yeah.
What did Josh just tell us? Which one did you say?
First one.
That the
tefillin are being ruined by the
exactly. Avilas. So is it that ruins the tefillin? Is that very clear, guys? That makes sense? The avil is lowly. He's somebody who's in great pain. Moreover, everybody looks at him and knows that he's suffering. Right? It's as if, proverbially, he's rolling in the ashes, rolling in the dirt. So one side would be that it ruined the tefillin. It's a disgrace, right? They're bohu pe'er. Tefillin require, as the pasuk teaches us from Yechezkel, that they are super beautiful. And if they're on this guy's head, it is as if you put them in the ash, as if you put them in the dirt. And therefore, it ruins the tefillin. It's a ruining of the kiyum of tefillin. Okay, yeah, Alex?
No, yeah, but then on Rashi,
oh, Rashi, where? So who says this? Who would I put over here? Give me a list of some Rishon. Who do you think?
Rashi.
So Rashi, I just read from Brachos. Rashi and Brachos.
Ksubos.
And Ksubos, very good. Anybody else? Anybody else see this? Here, I'll read you a line. You tell me who this was from, okay? Alma, tefillin ikru pe'er. Ba'avel biyomar ma'ol ba'afer karno ba'ein nachon sheyasim ha'avel tefillin shehu pe'er b'makom efer. Who said that? The end of the rush. The rush that we had seen also beforehand had said that same idea. So I wasn't sure. I mean, the reason why I didn't put it back on the source sheet but was because we already had it. I wonder if you read it thoroughly and then were able to apply it back over here. So the rush also sounded like that, right? That sounded pretty explicitly like that, right? You disagree?
Yeah.
You agree? Okay. Right, so Rashi in two places, the Rush, and other Rishonim as well. Okay, now, yeah, what's the other side, Alex? Go for it. So Rashi where?
Rashi in Sukkot Tafayam and Aleph says, the Ovel Bar Pe'er Hu.
Why not?
Ta'er Mare Be'atz Moshe Eno Ovel.
Oh!
That seemingly the tefillin is automatically going to make him like a Pe'er, and when he's in that state of wearing tefillin, he's not going to view himself as an Avel, and that's messing up the
Avel. He's not going to view himself, or
he's not going to look like
exactly.
An
Avel. Beautiful.
And then that ruins the Avel because he's supposed to look like an
Avel. Exactly! You have to display outward, external signs. I mean, the whole question of whether Avel is a key of the lave, or is a key of for other people to see, which one does Rashi sound like he's saying? Exactly. You don't actually have to feel bad. The kiyum is external. The rug strongly felt the kiyum is internal. A shear for another time. But, over here, what do we see from this Rashi? This Rashi is saying the opposite. Not that it's a din in that we don't want the Avelis to come along and ruin the chutzpah, to put tefillin in dirt, right, to ruin the tefillin, but rather the flip side, that really we say that we don't want the tefillin, which are so fancy, so beautiful, to go ahead and ruin this guy's display of mourning. It ruins the Avilos. Who else seems like this Rashi? I'll ask you a question. In our Vod, we're going through lots of conclusions of the Rambam in Mishneh Torah. And we've been talking a lot about the Rambam's organization, codification style. Where would you expect this halacha to be? That an Avel does not wear tefillin. Where would you expect it to be? Why would you expect it to be there? Or Hilchos Avel, why would you expect it to be in Hilchos Avel? You see two good options, right? Ben Arsh says this all the time, and I couldn't agree more. You can't, and I think he's quoting from Dr. Grach, right? That it's Pasha that is not a good question to ask, well, why did the Rambam put this here? Unless you have a good alternative. Meaning, well, because he should have put it over here and he didn't, then it's a good question. But you can't say, like, why did the Rambam put it here? Well, do you have a better place where he could have put it? No, so it's not a question. But over here, I think there's two good options. Where would he have put it? With Hilchos Tefillin, which would have indicated, don't ruin your Tefillin by wearing them when you're an Avel. Or did the Rambam put it in Hilchos Avel? Where did the Rambam put it?
Avel.
So where would you put the Rambam on this board? Exactly, you put the Rambam over here. So I think the Rambam's like this way as well. The Rambam sounds like it's a din in the Avelis. It ruins the Avelis. Why do you put it in Hilchos Avel? Great. Where's Hilchos Avel, by the way? In case any of you actually looked up in
Shoftim.
Why is it there? It's a good question. Look at the Rambam, the Kotaris there. Not so much. Look, sometimes Rambam even got stuck. He had to organize where was Hilchos Avel going to go overall. So he makes it fit with Shoftim and Ayin Shah. Okay, good. Let's go weiter. What else do we have? So we have these different ways of looking at things. Now, I want us to understand, now, if we were saying it's a din in ruining the tefillin, you know, I'll give them names, okay? We'll call it We'll call this side A of the Chakira. And we'll call this side B of the Chakira. Brilliant. Okay, so now, to side A. It ruined the tefillin, right? I understand how it ruins the avelos. Rashi was pretty explicit about that. It's because these things are beautiful. It shows, like, if he gets up, imagine if the guy's sitting there on the lowly chair, right? He's sitting there on the lowly chair. Maybe he even has some ash on his forehead, literally. But he's not wearing nice shoes. His shirt is torn. And he's wearing a tuxedo. It has the little tear. It would be bizarre. It would look like he's not really mourning. Why is he wearing a tuxedo? So that I get that. This is really fancy. Imagine, it's a woman. She's wearing her finest jewelry. What are you doing? This is a sad time. That's not how you're supposed to show signs of being sad. But the ruining the avelos, in what sense does it ruin the avelos? How does it ruin the avelos? We've already seen one option. How would you put it? I messed up. I said the wrong word. How does it ruin tefillin? And within the side that it ruins the tefillin, how's it ruining tefillin? We've already seen one approach. Alex, tell me that approach. You've seen it, tell me another one.
I thought it's that tefillin itself is glorious, and so think of it in terms of, let's say a crown for Malchus. You don't put a crown on some peasant that looks like he doesn't deserve a crown on his head.
So who would you say says this?
That was
Rashi and the Rashi. Both of them sound like that, right? It requires prayer. The tefillin itself requires prayer. It's a chutzpah to put it in this guy who's ma'ula ba'afar karno, right? That he's like his glory is in the dirt. When you put it on his head, it's as if you're putting it in mud. That's not appropriate to do with tefillin. So I think Rashi and the Rush would say what? How would they explain this? Because the tefillin need glory. This needs pit air, and this is in mud. I think that's pretty clear. All right, makes sense to you guys? Good. What might be other options, though? How else would you understand this? Did anybody see the Ritva on the page? I put the Ritva on the source sheet next. See Ritva source 10? So what was the Ritva's job? Anyone remember that? What did the Ritva say? Did he say something different? Did he say the same thing? I mean, okay, you know I'm leaning you, but what did he say different? Any suggestions? I'll read it to you. You guys tell me. Okay, so the Ritva says like this. I'll read it again. Read carefully, guys. Even die. Because otherwise, you might confuse him, and maybe you did, to think that he's rocking the rubble. But let's read it together. The Kavan de Bo Pe'er. Oh, sorry, I went to the wrong source there. Sorry. The Kavan de Potter, Aser Hubahen, Misham Kedusha Son. The Kavan de Potter, Aser Hubahen, Misham
Kedusha Son. You already have the Torah, and since you're put from the mitzvah, now it's Aser to do it if you're in a state of non Kedusha.
Good, so spell it out for me. Speak that out. Or sorry, you're going to add to that? You want to.
But I didn't get
what you mean by that. Neither do I.
I didn't know what's the Torah, so I didn't get it. What's the Torah that you have the first? It sounds like the only reason you're Potter is.
Maybe you're put from the Potter. Maybe the Potter makes your Potter.
And I guess as far as going to make it was Aser.
Oh, so what would that mean? So speak that out to me. Why is it Aser? What's the reason why it's Aser?
It's I thought it was along similar lines of that. And when you're Potter, you don't have to be like in that glorious state. Like once you're already out of the like glory, then it's Aser because it requires that sense.
But did he say Mishum Pe'er Ason? Or did he say Mishum Kedusha Ason? What does that mean? Sorry.
Is it that once you're not chayiv anymore, then it's like you need to be in your highest level to be wearing it? But once you're chayiv, it's like you don't necessarily have to be in that highest state.
And therefore what? You're right, but you're not fully right. And therefore...
Now you can't...
Give us our chance to finish the sentence.
Also for you.
Meaning, why?
Meaning...
Give me a mushroom. What would it be like?
I read this once from Twersky, Why Women Aren't Allowed to Wear Tefillin. He said that,
okay.
He said that for men, since they're chayiv, and they don't, even though they don't have necessarily like, a perfect good nucky and things like that, since they're five, is that like they have to.
They've got a chance. Okay. Yeah. But so how does that relate to this?
But for women who are not five, it's like in a sense of bizayon because it's.
Bizayon or it's dangerous? That point, I believe, that time is that it's
over,
dangerous.
It might be over,
over on a sin. But is he saying because of you're over on a sin? Does he say that because of goof nucky? Sure, what were you going
to
say?
I'm going to say maybe to have a kedusha feeling, you need to be able to have a payer.
You're saying that you are the payer for the tefillin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Say, you and your Kedusha, interesting, maybe. It wasn't exactly how I was going to take it, but perhaps. Let's go for it.
Could it be the spirit have an inherent Kedusha, and in order to be able to attach yourself to that, you need to have a minimum sort of requirement. And when you are Torah, because of Avelis, you are unable to meet that requirement. Therefore, you can't, you're not only a potter from Tefillin, but it's also also for you to wear it, because it's designed for Tefillin.
Okay, so I should cut you off. I loved it in the beginning. Then you veered into a new option, which you're actually saying two great options, and then you were going back to the first one. So let's cut you off, okay? We'll trim it over there. So what's your name?
Shirley.
Shirley, beautiful. Okay, so let's start off with that. Let me give you a mushel, guys. You know what it's like? It's like people who take out the Sefer Torah for no reason. When do you take out the Sefer Torah? To use it for Kedusha purposes. It's very, 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 very holy. You cannot imagine how holy the Sefer Torah is. And nothing else in the world is really comparable. We are super careful. If it falls, how can we all freak out when it falls? If a Sefer falls, we all naturally, we're used to it. We were raised this way, right? Yeah, we jump. If a Sefer Torah fell, we'd freak out. I was once in a shul on Yom Kippur when it was leaning forward and then we opened up the Aron and the door, and it fell out. We all almost had a heart attack. Right? The guy caught it, luckily, but the Sefer Torah fell out. And that's not a good omen on Yom Kippur. You don't want to have the Sefer Torah fall on the floor, right? That's not a good sign. So, why is it so holy? Because Hashem said it's holy. Good. But why does that mean we treat it with such care? It means you use it when necessary and not otherwise. What would be a disgrace? Can you imagine if I wanted to look cool? I think Sefer Torah are nice. You know, they got the whole little crown on top. It's got the bells, the jingles, everything. Oh, wonderful. So what am I going to do? I'm going to take out the Sefer Torah. I'm going to bring it out on a date. Because I want to look like I'm like a really dressed up cool guy. So I got my Sefer Torah in my hand. A chutzpah! You're going to take that out? Do you think you have a right to just use the Sefer Torah for your own vainglorious needs? A chutzpah! Isn't that pashat? So what's the Ritva say? V'kevan nipater. Since you're not chayiv to take it out, there's no reason why you should put it on. Aser hu bahen mishum kedushas. It's aser for you to just use it. These things are super fancy, right? Remember, we agree that tefillin are pe'er. They're gorgeous. But you have no right to use it when you're not told to use it. For you to try to look nice and handsome, that's what Shirley was saying in the beginning, just to use it for your own needs, no way that's allowed. The Ritva says the reason why it's usher is because since you're not chayav, because of their kedusha, you have no right to use them for your own personal needs. Because not chayav, then wearing this te'er is using it for personal purposes.
Do we know if he holds a sfar as what is mafter you, or it's the...
I don't think it's super clear. You probably take it either way. But at least, if you said it with a puzzle, you could explain this then as a sfar, meaning going back to our other page, where we could have explained, like, maybe this is what the sfar is there for, but he's not explicit. I don't want to bring it in there. Yeah.
Just to try to see if, like, Ritva throughout, in terms of what he holds and things that... we saw by Osip B'Mitzvah Fakir in the Mitzvah, that he held that things that are mitzvahs ritzui... Right, you can, those things...
You mean it's all over there?
I mean it's all over there, yeah. Things that are mitzvahs ritzoi are, you can't use because it's mitzvah of Avera. And then he made a binyan av to, oh, actually all mitzvahs are supposed to bring you closer to Hashem. All mitzvahs ritzoi, so mitzvah of Avera for all mitzvahs. So why can't you say here that like, oh, any mitzvah technically that you're pater from should be usher because they're all special and holy, whatever, why daf gets filled?
You'd wonder, but still... Mishum Kedusha Son, there's things that are Teshvishi Kedusha, right? They have certain dinim. We treat them more carefully. Things that belong to these things are familiar for this time, so. Right? But things that, even your tefillin, right? And the tefillin bag, right, has some degree of Kedusha. Now, the outside stuff might not, and the further you go from it, not. But we still treat certain items of Kedusha differently. Okay, go over to our, but I don't want to keep moving on because I want to get through our
Marcos. Why don't we see how this is a personal need? I mean, just because he's not tired doesn't mean.
So, what's he doing it for? But he's using their glory. The whole idea is that you're not allowed to use it. That's what it would seem. And that's, I think, what Alex was just touching on. How could anybody who's not chayv in a mitzvah then be allowed to go and do it on their own? So maybe you're not allowed to if it has a super high level of kedusha, which would basically be using it for your personal purposes. Now, often, there might not be any personal purpose. But here, since tefillin are so beautiful, you are using it for your personal purposes. Okay? Next idea. Surely, you were doing awesome before. You got us to B. You got us to the Ritva. Tell me what you were saying about Tirda again, and we might find a C. What were you saying about Tirda?
Because of the Tirda, you cannot achieve the state of... you can achieve the state of mental preparedness in order to be able to put on the tefillin and...
Wonderful. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so now who said that?
The Lavush,
right? I mean, if you're looking at my source sheet, so then you see it over here. Right, so the Lavush says exactly that's really just highlighted for us. That because an Avel is so engrossed in his mourning that he can't have the proper das. Like the Rambam tells us or not to have Hesach HaDas, maybe we'll get to there soon, right? You can't just divorce your mind, your thought, your focus from your tefillin, just as the Kohen Gadol had to focus on the tzitz when he wore it on his forehead. So too, we, with the tefillin on our heads, must focus on the tefillin. We'll examine that more soon. But the Lavush says, why is this a problem? Since so tarud, I like Shirley's word, since so tarud, he'll have hesech hadas. And that is usher. You can't wear tefillin and have hesech hadas. So there, this guy's so befuddled. Now you should know the Prima God mentions a fascinating nafkamina. According to the Lavush, let's say you were super special. I don't know. You're a Chaim Kanievsky. Well, I don't want to say anything about any. You know, I won't say any Gadol because I want it to be that he's going to be like in Avilus. So imagine you were the Gadol Hador, brilliant Oved Hashem, and unfortunately you were in Avilus, but you would have the capacity to stay focused on the mitzvah amidst that feeling of pain. Would you be allowed to wear the tefillin?
According to the Lavush, yeah.
Unlike
everyone else.
Exactly. Beautiful. That's what the Prima Gadol says. Perhaps according to Lavush's Svara, if you really could focus, then you won't have Hesach HaDas. Now maybe you're not allowed to chance it, but let's say you could. Let's say you were really, really quite confident that you could do it. So then maybe it would be you'd be getting a mitzvah on that first day. Unlike these two who say, you can't rub it through the mud. And you're putter, you have the right to use it for your own. Okay, I know you want to say that you'll be focused. That doesn't matter. According to either of these two options, these are shown him, you would not be allowed to do it. And certainly not, I'm not even talking about this side, right? It doesn't matter about the tefillin. It's about the Avelis. You'd be ruining the Avelis. Okay, is that clear for you guys? It all makes sense now? We have this hakir. Is it that it's ruining the tefillin, or is it that it's ruining the Avelis? Within the ruining the tefillin side, we have three different ways to understand it. It's because you're putting the tefillin, you're dragging it through mud, like throwing it in the garbage heap. Or is it because, once you're not like that you're putting it in a garbage heap, but once you're not chayiv in it, you have no right to use it to glorify yourself. Or is it because if you wear the tefillin, you're not going to properly give the tefillin their focus. And therefore, it's usher for you to wear tefillin, because when you wear tefillin, it requires that degree of focus. Okay, Josh, you want to say something?
I was just going to ask, yes. For that example of the Gadol Hador,
yeah.
If you're not tarud, would you be considered like rolling in the mud? Or are those a similar thing?
You're saying that maybe if you're not tarud, then you're not considered rolling in the mud. My assumption is I hear you. It's a good question. Josh is basically saying, maybe it's not such an afghan. Maybe you're rocking the rush and say, oh, since you're not tarud, you're not rolling in the mud. But I believe that rolling the mud is not just about how you're feeling internally, as much as you are in a situation where you are in the mud, because your closest relative, or one of your closest relatives, just died. So objectively, on an objective standard, regardless of how you feel, you could say it's because people perceive you as being in the mud. But I think it's deeper than that. You are in a lowly state. You could say somebody who's dying of disease might be the happiest guy in the world, but he's in a bad state. Somebody who's in the middle of a war, he might be happy, he might be strong, but he's in a bad state. So also over here, the guy might be feeling fine, but he's in a bad, objectively bad state. Okay? Wait, I want to move on unless you have something that's not clear. Otherwise, Haaretz, share with me
afterwards. Is the Svar or Pasuk?
That's also what Rafi was asking about these ones. I don't want to get into whether they're from the Svar or the Pasuk here. They're explaining what the Svar is. Now, which one was the real source? Which one was coming to add on another thing? They're at least explaining what that Svar is. Why is there this stira between Avelos and Tefillin? It's because the Tefillin's going to come and ruin the Avelos, as the other side would hold, or is it like this side is saying, then no, the Avelus comes and ruins the tefillin. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, great. So now, let's move on a little bit further. You know what? Actually, before we move on, I'll give you a couple of nafkaminas. There's a ton of nafkaminas, these opinions. Let's see if you guys can think of them. If I had to ask you between these two sides, between A and B, which one's more formal, and which one's more, let's say, emotional or subjective? Which one would you say?
C is more formal.
Well, not within the little a, little b, or little c, but between the larger options, the a or b, which one's more formal, and which one is, I think that's like the best way to summarize. There's a lot of enough for me to give in enough for it, right? I'm not going into all of them. I'll give you a couple just to help highlight and to crystallize the distinction between a and b.
B sounds more formal.
Why is b more formal, Robbie?
Because b is saying that the fact you're putting on tefillin, that is just mamela ruining your nevelis.
Okay, good. As opposed to this side.
But A is that when you're being avil, you're being sad, and you're being emotional, and it's more of like an emotional side, that then it's not really, you'd be kind of...
Certainly
with
a little bush, right? Certainly with a little bush.
Yeah.
And maybe even with these two, despite what I just told Josh, I think that this side is a more... Again, I'm oversimplifying it into specific terms because I want to show you something that Nachman that will arise. But this side really sounds like there's just these rules of avilus. Just like you're not allowed to, you know, you have to overturn your bed and you can't wash and you have to do all these different halachos, so you also can't wear tefillin. And now that should be defined by the formal rules of when is avelos. When will it ruin the avelos? As opposed to the other side, is that you're rubbing it through the mud. So now I know it might still be objective, it might not be about how you personally feel, but still it's because of a supposed emotional state. It's because of the objective status on this guy that he is in a lowly state. It's not because he has to abide by certain rules. It's because right now he's feeling down, or he should be feeling down, and therefore it's inappropriate to do that to the tefillin. At which point, then, let me give you one. This is a great enough man, okay? What day does Avelis start formally? When does Avelis formally start?
The burial.
Day of the burial. Very good. Day of the burial. So now let me give you this is a common trial. The Eretz Yisrael is not as common, because very often they try very hard on the day of the burial, they go and bury the person. The day of the death, I'm sorry. The day of the burial, obviously, they bury the person. On the day of the death, they try to bury the person, right? But, let's say it was like this. Somebody passes away on Monday, and then they bury him on Wednesday. This is the first chance they had to. They waited for some relatives. They were getting everything set and organized. They had to find a burial plot. It was all across. Maybe they flew him from America. Whole big hassle. So now you tell me, which day is the Avel not supposed to wear its tefillin on? On Monday, the day of death? Or on Wednesday, the day of burial? Which day is the Avel not supposed to wear his tefillin on?
He's Onen.
He wasn't Onen in the first... Besides for that.
Very good. You're saying, oh, because of Onen anyhow, he's Pater from all mitzvos. Let's say it was a case where he wasn't. There's cases of Onen, let's say it's not Meso Mutu Bafanav. It's not his job to do it. So it's somebody else who's Onen, so he doesn't have the status of Onen. So when does it begin? On the day of burial, when the formal Avelus begins, or on the Yom Mar? Which day does he feel worse? Alex, you tell me, which day does he feel worse? On Monday or Wednesday?
Monday.
He just found out, oh no! His father died, his brother died, his wife died, whatever the scenario was. Oh no! Does he wear tefillin that day? Well, maybe. If Avelis hasn't started. But if it's about how low he feels...
You're not
going
to ruin your Avelis then.
Good. 1 second. So let's see. So now, here's one off me, alright? Day of burial... after day of death. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
The day of the burial, which was after the day of death. So which day should he now wear tefillin on?
Depends.
So it depends which side you say. So if you held like A, that it ruined the tefillin, should he wear tefillin on that day?
No.
No.
No, because that's the lowest day. That's the Yom Mar. And should he wear tefillin on Wednesday? Perhaps. I know the formal avelus began then, but is he as lowly, is he as bad of an objectively bad state on the third day after avelus dies as opposed to the day itself? Maybe he's not as lowly. So according to A, is he going to be chayav or pater and wearing tefillin on the day of burial? He'd be chayav. According to B, he'd be... somebody?
Pater.
Why?
Because
it's not ruined. It's not ruined.
Yes,
it hasn't started
yet.
There's no formal avelus yet. How are you ruining the process that you're in if you're not in it? You're not in that process. You can't ruin the avelus. It's pre-avelus. It's not the avelus. I'll give you another nafmi. There's a lot of nafmi. I don't want to get bogged down in the nafmi. Here's another one. Okay. What about tefillin on Chol HaMoed or tefillin on Purim? This is actually complicated. It's within the Magen Avraham. It's a steer or a key of notes, but, you know, because he takes one side and the other side. But let's go with Chol HaMoed. You can go with either one of these days and flesh it out more, but I don't want to do that right now. Let's give you another nafmina. Let's say it's Chol HaMoed. Guys, is there a Avelus on Chol HaMoed? No? On Chol HaMoed, let's say unfortunately somebody's relative passes away on Chol HaMoed. So then the Avelus is gonna begin, even if you buried him on that day, the Avelus it begins when? After. If it happened before Yontif, so then the Yontif cuts it off. But if it happens on Yontif, so Yontif doesn't cut it off, it just hasn't started yet. So Leveil is going to begin. Let's say Yontif is over on Motzei Shabbos, and it's still Chol HaMoed on Wednesday, and that was the day of death. So, and then that was even the day of burial. You buried him on Wednesday. So now, does he wear tefillin on that Wednesday? Assuming you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, right? Assuming you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, would you wear tefillin on that day? And also, what about Sunday, the first day of four Malamites? Do you wear tefillin on Sunday? So, how does it align? You tell me, Josh. Go for it.
So, if it's the,
so give an example of Chol HaMoed.
For Chol HaMoed, for the side A.
Assuming you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, that should be obvious.
On
okay.
HaMoed, according to A, then you shouldn't wear the tefillin because your feelings are gonna ruin.
Exactly. So you should be putter.
According to B, the formal veils hadn't started yet, so you should be chayav.
Wonderful. Exactly. And there are many, many nafkaminas along these lines. I just wanted to put it in terms of the formal versus, you know, a more something more related to your emotions. The formal process of avelus will determine these nafminas versus not the formal process of avelus as much as you're in a lowly status at that moment, whether or not you feel it per se, as much as that's the status that everyone would view you in, and that's the objective status, that would be some nafminas. There's a lot more. Purim is actually, like I said, a little bit more complicated. By Chol HaMoed, there might be a kiyum belave of simcha versus on Purim, there's not a kiyum belave in simcha, and therefore might make it more complex. But I don't want to get into that right now. Okay, so now, guys, we have these nice two sides. Can I ask for a picture again? Go for it again. Okay, so now, might it be that both of these are true? How so? Why would you want to say that? I don't know. I mean, they both sound nice, right? They both seem like good stars. Maybe both of them are true. And let's see then. Oh, good. So that might be part of the reason why you'd want to say so, right? Josh says, there's a steer in Rashi. How come nobody jumped? Right? I've got Rashi over here. I've got Rashi over here. And that's totally okay. I mean, sometimes it's not the worst deal. It's not like it's a steer and other Rishonim who are more consistent even across the Seftas. Rashi teaches each one according to how he wants to teach it there. Maybe he won't punch away. Maybe how he learned it from his Rebbeim. It's the matter of Rashi. It's not the biggest deal if there's a stira. But obviously we don't want there to be a stira. So what's the deal? Rashi says both. One place he gives one reason. Beth and Sukkah. The other two places here he gives another reason. That's in Brachos and Ksubos. So what's the shot on Rashi? So I thought that you could say... Well, just give me 1 second. Let me think about... Should I get into that? I really want to have time to get into the Hesach Hadass. Now I'm going to leave that one. Okay, fine. So let's move on to this point. Okay? If we ever wanted to ask, you can ask me about some of the things I left out. Let's move on. So now, is it possible that both A and B are true? Now, Josh gave us one reason why one good incentive as to why we might want to say so. Let me give you another incentive. Okay? So, the Shulchan Aruch tells us... I think I printed it out over here. Did I not? Okay, I did it. Okay, sorry. I don't have a Shulchan Aruch on me. But I will tell you what the Shulchan Aruch says. So now, in two different places, the Shulchan Aruch brings down this halacha. Which makes sense, right? Because the Shulchan Aruch wrote four different larger books. Arachayim, Yoradeos, Eben Ezer, and Hosha Mishpat. And in two different locations, he felt the need to tell us this halacha. In Arachayim, in Hilchos Tefillin, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that the Avel is usur for him to wear Tefillin for the first day. Great. That's not weird, right? That's what you guys were all expecting. That's what he should say. He says, don't wear tefillin on the first day. And yet, in Yoradeya, the Shulchan Aruch says something a little bit more complicated. In Yoradeya, in Hilchos Avelos, Siman Shin Beches, what does the Shulchan Aruch write over there? He says, you don't wear tefillin on the first day, nor should you put on tefillin on the second day until after Netzach Chama. Right? We know there's Alos HaShachar, which is the beginning of the sun's rays coming over the horizon. You can see light, the horizon lights up. And there's Netzach Chama, when the actual, I guess, ball of the sun comes over the horizon. Okay? So, those are two different stages of mourning. So, he says, there, on the second day, don't wear it before Netz. Only wear it after Netz. Now, there seems to, before we even get into why, there seems to just be a steer in Shulchan Aruch. In one place, he says, don't wear it on the first day. Doesn't mention anything about the second day. At all. He doesn't say at all usher on the second day until Netz. And yet, in Yoradeya, he tells us that no, you're not allowed to wear tefillin on the second day. Now, this is based on the Gemara. The Gemara's conclusion, this is a much more complicated sugya, which we don't want to get into right now, but just to illustrate a little bit, is that there's a machlo, the Gemara, the way that we show them conclude, the way we paskin, is that the Gemara basically says that actually on 2 days, you're not allowed to wear tefillin. Okay? Now, it's not just the Yom Ha'aretz the first day. It really extends into the second day as well, the way we'll paskin. However, mitzvah is a Yom Kikulo, then we say that as long as you've done it for a little bit of the day, then that counts as the full day, and we do that for avodah for most of the things, right? The seventh day when we get up, same idea, so the beginning. So, mitzvah is a Yom Kikulo, and therefore, you already are yotze that component of it, and now you can wear tefillin on the post-Netzach Hamah part of the day. Once the day's begun a little bit, you've had a little bit of the day where you weren't wearing tefillin, so now you were done with that, and now you can wear tefillin afterwards. So, you really are not wearing tefillin for 2 days, so to speak. The first day, and then part, a small part, of the second day, which when you were yotze it, and now you can wear tefillin afterwards. Okay, so now, that's the conclusion of the Gemara. So, in your day, the Shulchan Aruch makes a lot of sense. Right? Then he says you're not allowed to do it on the first day, nor on the second day until after Shabbos. That's perfect. Makes us Yom Kikulo. Those are the 2 days. But what about an Orach Chaim? So what do you attempt to answer? What's the intuitive answer? Two words. The least satisfying answer I could give you. No, that's a satisfying answer.
Love Dafka.
Love Dafka, Robbie. Very good. Love Dafka. He wrote Shalom Adikduk. Right, you guys are running for the satisfying answer. You guys are. I'm done it. I want a push of a ball of bus. I want Rafi to tell me, of course. We know. Come on.
Please.
Not Rafi to ball of bus. Because Rafi's saying, I know how you're going to say it. Okay, No. A very simple answer. Right? What would you have said? What's the shot? He wrote a Shalom Benitok. He said, don't wear it on the first day. It helps to fill in because you don't want to get into it. And then, in the Elchel Avelis, he writes the whole halacha. He relied on what he wrote earlier, which is a fair answer. If you want to tell me that's an answer, I would believe it. But you should know the Shach doesn't believe it. The Shach there objects in your day, and he says, oh, the Shulchan Aruch writes that you're not allowed to wear it, and it's an Netzach Hamah, but you should know the Bach argues, and other people argue on that. They think you're only on the first day, not at all into the second day of the Klal, which means he understands the Shulchan Aruch is writing it specifically over here, and those other opinions that say, no, sometimes it might only mean one day. And therefore, perhaps you'd be pushed to suggest, or Ben Arsh suggested this, a different way of explaining this apparent steer in the Shulchan Aruch. And how would that be? Two other words, the ones you were itching to say before. Sveidinim. Maybe both of these are true. Maybe there's an aspect of ruining the tefillin, as well as an aspect of ruining the avela. What do I mean by that? Perhaps it's like this. Why is an avel not allowed? What's the svar? Why is an avel not allowed to wear tefillin when he's an avel on the first day? On the actual first day, maybe there's two components. Number one, it's going to stare his avel. It's going to interrupt it. It's going to destroy. He's trying to be an avel, and suddenly he's wearing pe'er. Doesn't make any sense. He's going to ruin his avel. That's true on the first day. But you know what's also there on the first day? He's super lowly. Piyomar. This can also explain how all the gemaras can work together. All the gemaras have like in only one day, right? So it can be that on the first day, on one day, you're in a really low state. The day of the hearing of the death, that is very, very low. However, by the next day, you're not in as bad of a state as hopefully you keep on going, and every day you're getting a little bit better again. The second day, you're not in as objectively of a lowly state. But perhaps, in terms of the formal din of avelus, that still lingers on to the second day. And thus, the regular rules of mixas hayom kikula, which only apply to formal dinim, are able to be applied. Right? It doesn't make any sense to say mixas hayom kikula, which is how sad you feel. Right? But in terms of whether or not you've been yotze a formal chiyuv, that does make sense. So perhaps on day one itself, you're not aware of tefillin for two reasons. Both are true, because you're dragging it through the mud, and because you're ruining your avelus. And on the second day, only one of those reasons still remains, but you're still not allowed to do it. And now, guys, it's very meduyuk. Where did the Shulchan Aruch say that you're not allowed to wear tefillin as an avel for one day? It helps tefillin. It helps tefillin. But in Hilchos Avelos, he said deeper. He said, you're not allowed to wear it because of the Avelos for a day plus a little. That's perhaps how to explain the Shulchan Aruch. Now, I want to show you a fascinating, very, very strange problem. Yosef, yes?
Right. But isn't it only like responsible that in Hilchos, like, so at the end of the day, the din is that you can't and until you can't do until Netzach Hamah. So you know, didn't have a tefillin.
He relied on that which you wrote later on. The same way we were trying to say Lav Dafka, he was relying on what he wrote later on. Here he wrote, in terms of the tefillin, you can't wear it on the first day. Later on, in terms of the avelus, learn how to avelus when you're in that situation. You know, you have to look in most places. Two dinim.
So it's formal. Number
One.
Since first day. Can you say that one more time?
I will in 1 second. Let me just get it down on the board here. There's two dinim, right? This is the option number one of how there might be two dinim over here. How to explain this Rashi. You can explain Rashi now in two locations. One place he's talking about in terms of the one place in terms of the veil. In terms of explaining the Shulchan Aruch, there's two dinim. On the first day, both are true. On second day, only B is true. Because at that point, you're no longer as lowly. Does that make sense? You're all with me?
Yes.
Fantastic. I'm trying to be clear. I know these are complicated things, and I'm glad you guys worked through it and prepared so well. Yes, questions?
Both are true.
Both Svara A and B are true. Because on the first day, you are A, lowly, and therefore that's one good reason why not to wear Svara. Another good reason why not to wear Svara. Like, there's no Naf Gamina, you understand? Right? It's not saying like, oh, you should or shouldn't. But you're not lowly on that day, nor are you... I mean, there actually might be Naf Gamina. I mean, I don't mean to say that there's no Naf Gamina. I mean, I might go back to our previous question. For example, let's say it was Monday and Wednesday. You shouldn't wear tefillin on Monday or on Wednesday. I don't mean to say that there's no nachminas, right? You understand that both dinim are true. There will be nachminas. I just meant that on the first day, you're not wearing it for two good reasons. Yes, Yosef, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The point about Beit Zacham is that since it's like a formal thing, we can make sure the whole day is over and that we're not sure when the day is really over.
No, that's not what I meant. Sorry, I wasn't clear on that. I meant that you have to do 2 days. Yeah. That's the conclusion of the Gemara in one location. So that
you
have to do 2 days. And that's strange, right? Because we thought it was only 1 day. And the answer is that on the second day, I'm able to get away with only Mixas Yom Kukulo. Day one was day one. Now it's day two. And I just don't have to worry about it for Mixas Yom Kukulo. Like all the new gear available to do on the seventh day, right? So the same type of idea that Mixas Yom Kukulo, in terms of the formal din of Avelas, this din is a special din in Tefillin, unlike all the other din.
2 days.
Nine shabbos. And that's its own discussion. I don't want to get into the technical details of how we reach that conclusion. Okay, but let's grant that that's true just for this. This is the concept of trying to illustrate that A and B are true on the first day both, or on the second day not. But I want to suggest a second way of understanding two dinim. Let's read an incredible Rambam. I think this one I put here. Yeah, okay, good. Ready? Rambam Hilchos Tainos, Tanios, Perakei Halach Yedal. Talmidei Chachamim Ein Noshdin Zel Zel Shalom Tishbav El Yoshvin They sit on Tisha B'Av. What do you do on Tisha B'Av? Talmidei Chachamim would sit there, sighing and groaning. And it goes on and on about other dinim. Now, the conclusion of the halacha, the Rambam reads as follows. Umitzas ha-chachamim, unlike the rules which apply to all Talmidei Chachamim, umitzas ha-chachamim, noagin shelo lahaniyach bo tefillin ferosh. The Rambam says, and on Tisha B'Av, some chachamim wouldn't wear tefillin on their heads. Three problems with this line in the Rambam. Ready, guys? Three problems with this line in the Rambam. Number one, if this is a proper practice, or this is part of the halachos of Tisha B'Av, like the same way you just said, Talmidei Chachamim don't do X, Y, and Z, so over here you should have said, and furthermore, Vod, they don't put on tefillin Shabarosh. So question one, why is this only Mixas Chachamim? Just like a Chomer Ba'alma? What does it mean? So presumably it's only a Chomer Ba'alma. Like, what is that? Only some of the Chachamim do it? Mixas Chachamim, part of them, some of them? So what does that mean? That's question number one on this Rambam, Hilchos Tainos. Number two. Why is it only Tefillin Shabarosh? What? Tefillin Shabarosh? But they put on Tefillin Shabayat? But they didn't put on their Tefillin Shabarosh? That's a fair question. I mean, what's the nature? How do you understand this chumrah, whatever it is? Apparently, it's just a chumrah, right? Only some people do it. And moreover, it's just not Tefillin Shabarosh. It doesn't say anybody didn't put on Tefillin Shabayat on Tisha B'Av, right? So, how do you understand that? Third question on the Rambam. This one, I think, is the most intense. What kind of chumrah is this? A chumrah not to wear tefillin? Can we call that? Call that being reform. You know, I'm not going to do mitzvot, right? I have a chumrah not to do mitzvot, lest I come to build a raft on Shabbos. What are you kidding me? You don't do mitzvot. You got to do mitzvot. You don't have a chumrah not to do mitzvot. What do you mean? So they decided that they're not going to wear tefillin on this day because they're in mourning. That's beautiful. But if this isn't sneaker of din that everybody should be doing this, how do you like? I'm not going to wear tefillin today. I'm not going to wear tefillin today. What do you mean you're not going to wear tefillin today? It's a chumrah. Because I feel sad. Give me a break. Get over the sadness. Put on tefillin. What are you talking about? There's no such thing. So perhaps we can understand differently. Perhaps there's a different two dinim. And what would that be? In terms of the component, in terms of the, here, I'll do like this. Shell the cell, all right. Shell Yad versus Shell Rosh. And then you're going to see what I mean in a second. Shell Yad has only B, only the aspect of Ruin Avelis. But Shell Rosh has both A and B applied. You ready? Let's do this. How do we understand this? Perhaps we can explain this strange Rambam. This is Rebbe Nachman Zevor. Perhaps we can explain this strange Rambam as follows. Certain Dominei Chachamim on Tisha B'Av really feel it. We know there are some people who don't really feel it. Bechlap. You go into your average shul, and you see the regular people who don't appreciate the day. They know they're supposed to be sad, and that's what they're going to do, and they're not going to go to, you know, do the regular stuff. But they're like, they're not in tune with the day. They don't understand it. And they're joking about whatever it is. What time of year is it? The Mets? No. Yeah, they're joking about the Mets. Whatever it is. Okay, that's what they're talking about. And like, they're not really in tune with the day. I'm not saying they're doing something wrong. They're doing the best that they can. Everybody at their own level. But you can appreciate how they're not really in mourning. How are they supposed to be mourning? They don't know anything about the base makers. They don't know what it meant to have the base makers. They don't have that relationship with Hashem. And therefore, don't truly feel bad. Now, maybe the Rav, you hope the Rav of the shul, does feel bad. Maybe he understands deeper. He's learned, I don't know, Kachim before. He's somebody who's a real Talmud Chacham, and he really appreciates it. But nonetheless, does he feel like he just had his sister die? Mistamanat. Even if he's a big shul Rav, and he's a real Talmud Chacham, and he's somebody who understands, he's not joking about the mess. He's learning. He's appreciating the day as best as he can. Again, all of us as best as we can. But is he feeling like his sister died? No. But the Gadol Hador, or somebody who's really great, or unique Tamid Chachamim, Mitzas Chachamim, truly feel this lowly. They feel literally like somebody just told them that their son had passed away. They feel that way. That they lost the base of Mikdash. The 9 days they knew it was coming, they saw it when the end was near, and then it happened. And they're on the floor, crying their hearts out, because they truly feel so despondent. You might suggest that they have not only, you know, some external formal type of avelis they're supposed to be doing, but on Tisha B'Av there really isn't avelis. That's why you're allowed to wear tefillin, at least whatever, pascal tefillin, right? We won't get into all of Tisha B'Av right now. But lemaisa, the avelis isn't there in the formal sense that whole day. It's just not. It isn't there. But what about the other aspect? If you're really crying and mourning the Beis HaMikdash destruction, then perhaps you have this second component. It's ruining the tefillin now because you are so lowly as if the day was a yomar for you, as if you just found out that a relative had died, that you cannot wear the tefillin, not just from a formal avelis sake, because guess what? There's no formal avelis. So you should have to wear tefillin. But not from that side, from the other side. The fact that you're ruining the tefillin. How does this explain everything? First of all, you understand why it's only mixed up with chumrah. That first question. It's not a chumrah. It only applies to some people. If you're in that reality, you live that world, that's your perception, so that indeed, you can't put on tefillin. You can't drag it through the mud. So it's only applying to some people. Moreover, how is it not a chumrah, which is also a kula? Because it's not a chumrah. It's a reality. It's not him just saying that, like, oh, look, I'm not going to wear tefillin because I'm so stark. If you do that, not only are you over on you, you're also being a bottle, you're tefillin. But if you really, really are there, you're on that pinnacle of, you know, Jewish God consciousness, so then indeed, you can't put on tefillin. You're not supposed to. And therefore, it's not a chumrah that's asi lidei kula. But what about the most interesting feature? What I wrote on the board here. Shel Yad versus Shel Rosh. Up until now, guys, have we breathed a word of distinction between the Shel Yad versus the Shel Rosh?
No.
Not a word. Not a word. But perhaps we see that maybe only Shel Rosh has component A, that it ruins the tefillin. Maybe only Shel Rosh is considered pe'er in that sense. unlike the shel yad, which won't. Now I have to illustrate a little bit more clearly. I don't mean to say that an avel should wear, according to this reading of the Rambam, that an avel is supposed to wear shel yad on the first day. He's absolutely not supposed to, and that's learned from the Gemara, that's clear, right? Nobody's saying that. Because on that day, though, he has the din of formal avelus as well. That's why he doesn't wear it on the first day of avelus, because there is formal avelus on day one also, right? There's both aspects. You understand what I mean? On the first day of avelus, when a guy's actually in avelus, the first day, he has both aspects.
So the rush would say that.
I'm not saying it in the rush. I'm suggesting this as an option within the Rambam. Okay? On the first day, of course you don't wear shel yad. Of course you don't wear shel yad, because you also have the formal din of avelus. And the formal din of avelus is saying that you can't be fancy. Because after all, even the shel yad is considered pe'er in that sense. It's very nice, it's very fancy, it's beautiful. But you know what? You sort of are allowed to drag it through the mud. It doesn't have that same degree. I mean, I don't mean to actually take your shel yad and control it through the mud. But it doesn't have that same super intense component where you're not allowed to put it on your head because it ruins the tefillin. It would ruin your avelus. But it doesn't ruin the tefillin, but your shel rosh is super sensitive. Your shel rosh, if you put it on an avel's head, not only are you destroying your avelus, but it also contains an element of the yom mar. It also comes and ruins the tefillin. Only the shel rosh. Now let me go and try to bolster this with a lot of rides. The shel rosh is unique than the shel yad. First of all, you should know, the Shita the Talmud Rabbeinu Yechiel miParis, the Rimi Paris, so his Talmud, on Maseches Moed Katan, has an Or Gemara, the fascinating added word of Shel Rosh. It's obviously not Kehel, so we don't pass it that way. But he thinks Or Gemara about Pe'er is only applicable to the Shel Rosh. Moreover, the Gemara in Menachos tells us as follows. The Gemara in Lamed Hamabay says, Ur'u kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha, vir'u mimcha. The pasuk says that all the nations of the world will see that Hashem's name is called upon you, and they'll fear you. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar, Agado Omer, Elu Tefillin Shavarosh. What does that pasuk refer to? It refers to the Tefillin Shavarosh. Why does it say it refers to the Tefillin? It refers to the Tefillin Shavarosh, this special crown that you wear. That the nations of the world will see, and they will know, and they will fear the B'nai Yisrael, because they have this special connection with Hashem. They wear this crown. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, Poshe Yisrael Begufan. Mindy who? What is somebody who's a Poshi Yisrael B'gufan? Poshi Yisrael B'gufan that has no chelot, no habo? What happens to him? Who is such a person? Amar Rav, what does Rav say? Karkafta delo manach tefillin. A head that did not put on tefillin. Why do you say a head that didn't wear tefillin? Why do you say a person that didn't wear tefillin? So maybe he means a person who didn't wear tefillin. We're just called by your head. You're like, I'm counting heads. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah on Yudzayim Manal. Right? How come the Gemara says a head that didn't wear tefillin is considered a B'gufan? Yes. Yeah.
Is it also just simply that, like, your tefillin shel yad, but you didn't really, it wasn't seen.
Beautiful! Yossi's adding another point. Because tefillin shel yad is more secretive. It's private. It's something internal. As opposed to what that Gemara is probably working off of. The tefillin shel yad is something proudly, prominently displayed. But Yossi, you're helping me, not hurting. You're showing that tefillin shel rosh somehow contained an added level of grandeur, of gedula, of the air. But it's supposed to be seen. It's not a coincidence. This one's supposed to be hidden. Exactly, exactly. I know, 100%. That was going to be a moment where I might rise as well. The fact is, tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh have this discrepancy. Tefillin shel yad are supposed to be covered. I remember once from Moshe Weinberger, when I was a young boy at Bar Mitzvah, I think we had it at his shul, and he came up to me. It wasn't my Bar Mitzvah. It was somebody else's. But I think I was recently wearing tefillin, and I had my sleeve all the way rolled up, and he came up to me and like gently like showed me like, no, you're supposed to cover the tefillin, because you're supposed to cover the tefillin shel yad, but not the tefillin shel rosh. Your daf is supposed to leave them uncovered. When you put your talis amir tashem, or you've got some of you might already wear talis. When you put your talis over your head, don't cover the shel rosh. The shel rosh is supposed to be prominently displayed. Hold on 1 second. Moreover, the Rambam says, in terms of the mitzvos asei that are included within tefillin, mezuzah, and sefer Torah, that group of halachos, what did he say? Aleph, lios tefillin al rosh, to have tefillin on your head. Beis, lekashrim aliyah, to tie them on your hand. There's a discrepancy. By tefillin shel rosh, the whole goal, the whole kiyum, is to have it on your head. The shel yad is to do the ma'aseh mitzvah of tying it on your head. What's the bracha we make, guys? Another proof. There's a discrepancy. What? They each have their own bracha. La'niyah, tefillin, to put on the tefillin. as opposed to Alat Tefillin. It's on having them themselves. One of them is through the Maisa, that's the Shoyad, the personal, internal one, the Zifron, the oaths, for you to remember Hashem in your daily lives. But what is the Tefillin Shel Rosh? It's much more than that. It's that and more. Tefillin Shel Rosh is not only a remembrance for you that you're connected to Hashem, and that you're dedicating and binding your thoughts and your actions to Hashem. The actions and the thoughts, respectively, right? It's deeper. It's also your crowning jewel. It's supposed to be beautiful. It's supposed to be showing the world that you are different. It's displayed publicly. You are different than everybody else. You have a unique relationship with Hashem, which not everybody is zocheh to. The Torah quotes his father, the Rush, and the Rush had an interesting minhag. The Rush, when he would say, "O Teri Yisrael b'Sefara," in the Birchas HaShachar, he would kiss his tefillin shel Rosh. He would kiss his tefillin shel Rosh. Because "O Teri Yisrael b'Sefara," which one is really being crowning Klal Yisrael with their Sefara? Rav Soloveitchik had a whole pshat overall about how the tefillin shel Rosh, as we already said, karkaf to the gavra, it's supposed to be a crowning feature. It's on your head. It is what makes you different. A head that hasn't had tefillin on it is not the same head that has had tefillin shel Rosh on it. It's a symbol for the whole world to see and for you to know of the depth of your commitment and your relationship with Hashem. The nations of the world will fear you. How come Hashem has tefillin and what's written is tefillin? Also, Mika Am Kli Yisrael. Hashem has that relationship with us. I want to end with another vort that Rav Ben Arsh once shared. I guess we don't have time to get Pesach Hadas. I assume I'm trying to end for you guys at Mincha, but I'll share a quick point. Rav Ben Arsh once said in a different context, how come there's that weird Rashi, right? I'm sure you guys know the Parshas Bo, right? Oh, the Parshas Bo. No, beautiful. Okay, good. So, the Parshas Bo, right? What does it say? What does Rashi quote from Chazal, the Gemara, right? What's shot with Tok Tafos? What's that language which is only used by the Shel Rosh? What's the language of Tok Tafos? Tat the Kaspi Shtayim, in the language of Kaspi, Caspian, I don't know. And Tat, and Pat, Dafriki, the Tat, right? Tok Tafos, right? So the Fat is two in Afriki. What does that mean? Some foreign language, some random primitive, you know, old language that they used to have in some distant place. That meant two. So therefore, Tefillin Shel Rosh are called Tok Tafos. Rav Ben Arsh explained quite beautifully. He explained that perhaps that symbolizes the discrepancy also between Shel Yad and Shel Rosh. Shel Yad is personal, it's internal. And of course, note that it comes first. In order for you to spread the light of the Torah to the world, you have to first become somebody worthy of spreading it. So that's internal, personal, private for you. That you remember that relationship with Hashem. That oath is tied to you and it's covered up. It's just between you and Hashem. But then there's that universal goal in Judaism. We have both components where we have to live for the Jewish community, but deeper, broader, after we build up who we are supposed to be, we also expand and spill out to the rest of the world and we're Or LaGoyim. That we then display proudly to the world, this is what it means. And the nations of the world will fear, they'll know and they'll fear you. Not a fear because you're going to beat them up, but they'll realize that you and Hashem have a super tight relationship. And they'll want that too. They'll appreciate how to know Hashem is the greatest thing imaginable. Therefore, tat b'kaspi shtayim, and fat b'afriki shtayim. Because there, we want to show the world these boxes, in whatever language you speak, however we can communicate with you, realize what these represent. They are our crown. They are our seferis. This is what tefillin shel Rosh are, and I think it ties quite beautifully in explaining these tzedinim that we might have over here. Right, guys? And I'm sorry about the Hesach Hadas that we didn't get there. Mir Tashem, Hesach Hadas, either the Asa for tomorrow here, Rafi, you could stop it tomorrow. We can either do